I'm getting in my car, and I'm driving to your home.
Welcome back, hour number three, Melnick in the afternoon for a beautiful Monday. It's weird to be out here and go for a big coffee run, and it's pitch black, but nobody's got a jacket on. It's really weird. It's like being in the Twilight Zone.
Well, I bundled up for my bike ride here and then realized as soon as I left the door that I was, like, extremely overdressed.
Yeah. Even tonight, going back, you won't need it. That's Andy Bennett. Marco Campagna sitting in for Rod Francis is with us. Mitch Melnick until 7. Pierre McGuire in about 15 minutes or so. This is a brand new Downchild. And we did hear from Donnie Walsh, but he called just as we were going to go to Lorne Rubin. So Mr. Downchild himself, who's on slide guitar here, and this is the song that Jonas will be performing at Metropolis on Thursday night as part of Downchild's 40th anniversary celebration. Donnie Walsh will be with us tomorrow afternoon before 4. Fingers crossed. All right, on to more important things. Your Montreal Canadiens, a rare Monday off. I'm curious to know the last time they had a Monday off prior to a game on Tuesday. That, of course, because of the public practice yesterday in front of a packed house at the Bell Center. Following the loss to Alex Tanguay, you knew he was going to do something, right? You just knew he was going to do something.
I was happy for Tanguay.
Yeah, I have no problem with Tanguay. I thought they'd re-sign him, but we don't have time to get into that at this point. But once again, a lot of room to move in the Canadian zone, and of course, Carey Price must be at fault. They lost 3-1. At least one of the goals didn't look good, and that's why the Canadians lost, even though they scored one goal in their own rink against a non-NHL powerhouse on a Saturday night, and it was on the power play.
Maybe we can get Costa to do some research and see how many goals Price gets as opposed to Halak, if there is a difference in goal support.
We've already had a guy who's we're going to a guy who's done more research than all of the researchers combined research.
Yeah.
Coming up in just a second, a very very special guest. This was, as we tried to point out earlier in the show, it's debatable. You know, you want to talk about the goal, but the incessant, constant scrutiny of the goaltending situation, and exasperated by that stupid tweet by Alan Walsh, who, if I was his client, I'd fire his ass. I don't want my agent, who's supposed to be looking after my best interest, tweeting those stats about Carey Price when he's right in the middle of it as Halak's client. What an idiot. It was idiotic to do. He knows it. He tried to slough it off as some kind of joke. It wasn't a joke. There's nothing humorous about it. He got caught. Maybe what was humorous was his action, which led to the tweet. Who knows what Alan Walsh was doing on Saturday night. But we know how it ended, and if you try to find a record of those tweets, they're all gone. They've been expunged from the record. Although, as Bob McKenzie correctly pointed out with the guys this morning, nothing is ever gone once it's on the Internet. There are so many other issues afflicting this team on Saturday night, for example.
I just thought, when we shortened the bench, just felt that, got to win some battles, got to try to get some production, and just went with people I felt that were ready to go to war.
Jacques Martin on the benching of Maxime Lapierre and Guillaume Latendresse, who between them, I think, had 11 minutes of ice time on Saturday night. Between them, adding that, the totals up together, 11 minutes. They didn't play in the third period. Second line continues to be a problem. Injuries are an obvious problem. But, when I check my blog at my own site, and my own brother is ripping Carey Price, I figure, somebody help me out here. I think I know what's going on. I've learned to trust my own instincts and my own judgment, my own eyes, in 45 years of watching hockey. And lo and behold, after clicking on this morning, as I always do, to HabsInsideOut.com, see what Stubbs and or Mike Boone are thinking, There is this amazing statistical in-depth research done by a gentleman named Chris Boyle as part of another site. And I said to Andy, we got to get this guy on the air. So here he is, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome to Melnick in the Afternoon, Chris Boyle. How you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Well, who are you?
just a Habs fan living in Toronto, trying to get around the constant barrage of insults of Carey Price. So most of my outlet is message boards, and I can't get away from there either. It's all every time Price happens to have a bad game, he gets buried. So I figured I'd look into things and see, because like you said, watching the games, he doesn't seem to be letting in any bad goals, yet his statistical, his basic statistics will tell you that he's terrible.
Oh, what do you do in Toronto outside of the message boards and research?
Oh, I'm a graphic designer, so okay. There, that's where you get your fancy charts from.
Okay. And are you originally from Toronto?
Yep, born and bred.
And how and why did you become a Hab fan?
My dad warped me to the some call it the dark side, but I don't believe it's the dark side.
All right, Chris. So you're following this, as a lot of us are, with great interest. And are you a regular contributor to this other site?
Yeah, I was on the prize. Thanks to Robert for giving me the forum to let you guys see this.
All right. It's HabsEyesOnThePrize.com, Mr. Robert Lefebvre.
Yeah.
Okay. And so tell us exactly, for those who won't get to their computers until later tonight, what you did.
Well, basically, like, looking, it started when you see, like, Tim Thomas being rewarded the Vezina Trophy, and you know that he's playing on a team that is just, he's not allowing many opportunities. So to look at statistics, it doesn't really make any sense to judge his statistics in accordance to Price's statistics. It's not a fair assessment. If he's getting 25 shots a game below 40 feet and Thomas is getting 15, how can you judge their save percentages on an equal footing? So I went in, and the best comparable would be the two goalies that play together. So you can compare them because they play in the exact same circumstance. So I took the shots in different levels, so from 1 to 20, 20 to 40, 40 plus, to see where the shots are coming from and what their save percentage and how successful they are.
All right, 1 to 20 being feet, right? Feet from the net.
Yeah, 1 to 20 feet.
Right.
20 to 40 feet. So when you're getting the majority of goals scored in the NHL come from the slot, 20 feet below. If you're getting more shots in the slot than anybody else, the odds are your stats are not going to reflect as well as somebody else. People will have a misconception that it's equal and save percentage is like it's my comparable that I always use is towards ERA in baseball. Zach Greinke on the Kansas City Royals does not get charged for unearned runs, yet a turnover that leads to a 2-on-1 and an empty tap-in is credited to the goalie. So if you're playing on a terrible team, how can you possibly use those statistics on the same basis as somebody who plays on a defensively tight team like a Jacques Lemaire-type team? I mean, Canadians in the early 80s had Walmsley, Heron, Sevigny, on and on, who put up ridiculous statistics, but come playoff time, they always collapsed. It's not because they choke in the playoffs. It's just because they were never really good goaltenders, and they get exposed at the worst moment.
Yeah, well put. I, as someone who lived through that, okay, we're going to miss Dryden, but Denny Herron always played well against the Canadians.
Yes, he did.
You know, it's sometimes hard for people to link. Occasionally, there is a connection where a great goaltender happens to play for a great team, and that was the case with Dryden and the Canadians.
Well, the thing is if you put a great goaltender on a bad team, he's going to be good, but he's not going to be great. If you think of, like, Luongo in Florida in the early 2000s, if you put a terrible goalie on a great team, you put a terrible goalie on a great team, you could get Tim Thomas-type years. You can get Byron Defoe in 99 or in 2001, Roman Čechmánek was putting up huge numbers, and once he gets traded, he disappears. But you put a great goalie in a great system, and you get Patrick Waugh in 1989, who goes undefeated at home, has 5 losses and 40 starts, and wins the Vezina by a landslide. So it's a lot of people don't factor in that, and it is very important. So to dump on Price from an outsider's perspective, who doesn't watch the Canadians every game, I can understand it. But for people who watch it every game, to dump on him is kind of it kind of doesn't make any sense. not okay. really paying attention.
Not to get bogged down in stats, although I love them, but we don't have a whole lot of time. What you've basically done, you've charted every game. You've charted every shot taken against the Canadiens with these two guys in goal. And you have come to the conclusion that what?
Well, the conclusion is that there's no sense to argue because right now neither of them is head and shoulders above the other. Price has the higher end. When he plays well, he plays at an elite level, but he also crashes and burns a lot more often than Halak. Halak is steady. He doesn't have the massive ebbs and flows that Price does. But that's what you get with a 22-year-old goaltender. He's inconsistent. Waugh was inconsistent at 22, but he happened to play behind Pat Burns, Jean Perron, and a great defensive system. Hayward's stats are almost exactly the same as Waugh's for the first 2 years in the league. Price is going through the same thing right now. When he comes out the other end, he's going to emerge as the better, ultimately probably a better goaltender than Halak. But right now, to complain about the two is kind of silly because there is no difference really right now.
So why do you? That's what my eyes tell me. So why do you think there is this lightning rod because of the hype, some of the off ice stuff from a year ago, expectations, or all three, or what?
Well, it's hyperbole. He came in on a white horse. He'd won all of these things in the juniors. He comes up. They're showing clips of Waugh winking at Sandstrom, Dryden stopping Jim Papin, Steve Penny robbing Peter Stastny. They're showing all of these things to you. Then they tell you that only one other goalie at 20 years old has won the Calder Cup and won the Stanley Cup, and that's Patrick Waugh. So then everyone has this idea that he's going to come in and do the same thing. And he unbelievably did it for the first 30, 40 games. So then you get to the point where everyone is believing that he's going to just step in and be a superstar, but he doesn't have the support staff that Waugh did to pull it off. So everyone's expectations is raised to a higher level, and then when he struggles, they blame him. It's a simple way to do it. You can't. It's easy to blame him than to blame the defenseman who made the turnover and the defensive forward who didn't come and get his check and allowed the empty net. You can blame it on Price. It's a simple way to do it.
The Canadians in their own end are looser than the mucus in Sean Horkoff's flu-ridden nose. Yeah, but you see, people don't want to. It's the goalie, and I guess I think as a goalie because I played goalie, and I'm glad that there's somebody out there who's actually taking the time to, rather than just have knee-jerk reactions or grudges that they're trying to settle, actually studies what has been going on here. And it's fascinating stuff. I wish we can get into it a little deeper, but it wouldn't do it justice. You've got your own blog, right?
Yes, I do. It's called Fantasy Sense Hockey. It's .net. It's mainly a Fantasy Sense site, but I do a lot of other things as well.
FantasySenseHockey.net. To go to the original source, and it is Chris Boyle on the phone. Yes, a Habs fan in Toronto. You must go to Kilgore's. You ever been there?
I went once. It wasn't that packed, but I have the high def TV and the NHL package, and that's
yeah. Why bother, right? Wait. Wait for those Leafs-Habs matchups prior to the trading deadline.
And
go to a bar.
I'll pop my phone.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Thanks for all the work that you did, and we'll try to direct as many people to it as possible because it is really eye-opening.
Thanks a lot.
FantasySenseHockey.net or HabsInsideOut.com, and there's a link to it.